this afternoon I'm going to tackle the question that Randy Alcorn deals with in chapter 35 of his book on heaven. Will there be marriage, family, and friendships? So I'm going to concentrate especially on marriage this afternoon. And I do so because it's a difficult subject in that there's a very clear answer or a very direct answer by Jesus in Matthew 22. I'll ask you to turn there. I'm going to read the verse directly, but we're going to read it in its context and think about it as well. And Jesus says to the Pharisees, "For in the resurrection they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels in heaven." It's difficult because marriage is such a part of life today. We understand it has been instituted by God Himself, that it was instituted before the fall, that it was not something that was to address sin or address a fallen world. God had very good reasons for giving marriage. We've talked about those on many occasions now in our study about heaven. It was not good for man to be alone. And we've seen that marriage provides companionship. That's a major element of the meaning of marriage. It addresses the very real issue of sexual intimacy, which is as well part of God's good design. Something that as well is part of the world before the fall. It also touches on the institution of the family and of children. It's just kind of woven all throughout our society. And so it's a very common question to ask, will there be marriage in heaven? So we're going to look at Matthew 22 and what he says in verse 30 and kind of that surrounding passage. And let me also add that on good authority, R.C. Sproul says that his wife said we'll be married, and he's not going to contend with that. So I cite that just as a humorous instance of how strongly we feel about this. I do want to read Matthew 22, verses 23 through 33. Let's just take a verse apiece and read around. If you have your Bible, JD, would you start? We'll read around this way.
The same day the Sadducees, who say there is no resurrection, came to him and asked him,
saying, "Teacher, Moses says that if a man dies having no children, his brother shall marry his wife and raise up offspring for his brother."
Now there were with us seven brethren. The first, when he had married a wife, deceased, and having no issue, left his wife unto his brother.
Vicki, would you take the next?
So to the second and third down to the seventh. Last of all, woman died also. Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife in the second will she be? For they all had her.
Jesus answered and said to them, "You are mistaken, not knowing the scriptures nor the power of God.
For in the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like angels of God.
Yeah. Are we still confined in here? How far are you going?
To 33.
But concerning the resurrection of the dead, have you not read what was spoken to God, but to you, your God, saying,
I am the God of Abraham, and the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob? He is not God of the dead, but of the living.
And when the multitudes heard this, they were astonished.
The first thing I want you to notice about this is that Jesus's answer is an answer to a different question. He's not answering the question, will there be marriage in heaven? he's answering a question about the resurrection. This is a good question for us because it does deal with heaven. It does deal with not only what happens after we die. You'll notice that Jesus is saying there is no marriage in the present heaven. Remember that term of where our soul goes before our bodies are resurrected. So his answer is not just about the present heaven and there not being marriage in the present heaven, but in the resurrection where body and soul are reunited when Jesus comes again. And so he's giving an answer directly to that. And his answer sidesteps the kind of trick question that the Sadducees were, the trap that they had set for him. So they think they have a conundrum for Jesus to try to figure out. They say, well, if you're raised from the dead and here in this life a man had this many wives, the wife, the man dies, and the wife has so many different husbands. So, who's married to her in the resurrection? They think this is going to just silence Jesus, that he's caught in a trap, and he'll have to admit how silly the resurrection would be. If marriage is one man and one woman, then how could it be that they would have all of these different husbands and wives in the future? So Jesus' answer silences the Sadducees on a couple of levels. First of all, it silences them when he says, you are mistaken, you don't know the scriptures. The Old Testament has taught the resurrection from the dead. And that's Jesus' first answer. He says to the Sadducees that you are not interpreting scripture properly by denying the resurrection. That's a very important rebuke that he gives to them. Then secondly, he does address this question about marriage. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels of God in heaven. When we have been looking at heaven, recently we have studied different subjects about or that have highlighted the continuity between the physical reality and the resurrected and heavenly reality. A continuity meaning that there's sameness or similarities. So we've noticed that Jesus promises a new heavens and new earth, that we do not live in a disembodied state, that we're not ghosts or spirits. We do have bodies. We live in a physical universe, and that continuity has been the main theme of many of our answers that we've given so far. And in fact, we've also noticed the created order that has been marred by sin, that Jesus redeems and gives some form of restoration to. It's not purely restoration, because the resurrection is different. And we've seen, especially in 1 Corinthians 15, that the bodily resurrection is marked as being the same but different. We have physical bodies, but that physical body is incorruptible, imperishable, spiritual, it says, that not meaning ghostly or immaterial, but not earthly. And we've looked at those passages. So we've especially emphasized the continuity. There is change, but there's the same. That's what makes this answer stand out as different. where Jesus speaks very directly about something being being very different from what we know, even knowing from the created order. He says, you are mistaken. In the resurrection, they neither marry nor are given in marriage, but are like the angels in heaven. He says, no marriage in heaven. Notice that he doesn't say we won't know and love and be close to those that we have known on this life. We will recognize and love and seemingly be close to those that are family that have been here on this earth. And there's where that principle of continuity leads us to say that we will remember our loved ones, and that we'll have those memories. But Jesus does say very clearly here, no marriage in heaven. And it leads to some questions as to why and how will we deal with that. Right now it's hard for us to understand how to deal with that, and I'm going to comment on that in just a minute. But first of all, why? We look back to Genesis and we see that God instituted marriage for the purpose of companionship. God says it was not good for man to be alone. And marriage met that fundamental need. But marriage is not a necessary state for being human. And neither is it a necessary state for being a Christian. Many of you right now that are here are not married. And that does not mean that you are less than Christian or less than human because you are not married. Jesus Christ himself was never married. Now, I think there are other reasons for that, in God's wisdom, that he did not pursue marriage, that's for another time. But if there is no marriage in heaven, it would seem that God intends to fulfill that desire for companionship in a different and a better fashion than is part of the created order. Randy Alcorn points this out. He says, all throughout history, God has used marriage as an analogy of the relationship of Christ and the church. So Alcorn suggests that marriage is a shadow of the spiritual union that we have with Christ. And while that's true, and Alcorn goes on about that quite a bit, I'm cautious about that answer, and that it spiritualizes something that is very complex and also has a physical side to it. And it's okay when God does that, but I'm cautious when we take other things in the Bible and just kind of spiritualize them and fall into the trap that Alcorn warns of elsewhere, of a Christian Platonism or just a spiritualizing of the promises of God. This is the quote that Alcorn gives, citing Ephesians 5, 31 and 32 that speak of Christ being the bridegroom and we the bride. Alcorn says, the one flesh marital union we know on earth is a signpost pointing to our relationship with Christ as our bridegroom. Once we reach the destination, the signpost becomes unnecessary. That one marriage, our marriage to Christ, will be so completely satisfying that even the most wonderful earthly marriage couldn't be as fulfilling. Earthly marriage is a shadow, a copy, an echo of the true and ultimate marriage. Once that ultimate marriage begins at the Lamb's wedding feast, all human marriages that pointed to it will have served their noble purpose and will be assimilated into the one great marriage they foreshadowed. The purpose of marriage is not to replace heaven, but to prepare us for it. So, again, the answer that he gives is not that we will not have deep relationships They will just take a different form in heaven. It has a very nice quote from C.S. Lewis that describes how hard it is for us to understand that. And he relates it to a child who really likes chocolate. And I know a lot of you like chocolate. And imagine trying to help a child to understand, and this is C.S. Lewis helping a child to understand the goodness of sexual intimacy in marriage. And he describes the child asking, will there be chocolate? And the answer is, well, yes and no. There's something better. Something better than chocolate. C.S. Lewis said it a lot more eloquently than I say it. And all you parents can deal with that with your kids later today. Yes, there is something better than chocolate. Oh my.
714-1000.
Well, I'll
moving along.
I'll quote somebody else here that maybe it will help you understand it better. Because it does it ties in this the idea of will there be sexual intimacy in heaven. That's tied into the question. And if it's true that there's no more marriage in heaven, and that sexual intimacy is given for marriage, it follows that there won't be that same type of intimacy in heaven. At the same time, we are assured that heaven will be good, and that heaven will be without regret or without any frustration or lack of contentment. So that helps in giving an answer. So this is the quote that I found helpful from a commentary by Dan Doriani. The answer to all these questions is the same. If the Lord wills it, then we will experience it in heaven. If not, we will not miss it, because the Lord will give something better. There will be no grief, no sense of loss in heaven. And I find that very helpful, and I'll leave you with that answer. If the Lord wills it, then we will experience it in heaven. And if it's hard to understand, I sympathize with you. I've read and I've studied and I've scratched my head and I've wondered about this question, and I'm sharing the fruit of that and confessing that it is a difficult question, just because it is such a rich thing that God gives us in marriage. If God wills it, we'll experience in heaven. If not, we won't miss it, because God will give something better. So take comfort and joy in that. And I'll close with the guarded opportunity for you to ask questions. Or make comments.